You have to read journalist Sarah Posner's recent piece in the American Prospect magazine. It's titled "The Chains of Dominion." Sarah profiles a once prominent leader of the political religious right, Elaine White. Elaine was in the thick of this unholy alliance in a place where it thrives, Texas, USA. I used to live there. I should know. But she has made incredibly difficult decisions that have her now following her conscience and moving in a different direction. It's a powerful and intensely personal story, offering a rare view into a power structure that exerts immense influence over our national politics. That's why I am so very grateful to have her join us here on State of Belief Radio. Elaine, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You and I share a very specific history, having been deeply involved in conservative Christian ministry at a time when an overt takeover of Republican politics by religious dogmatists took place. It was not something that I could be a part of, and walking away from it was tremendously difficult and painful, but it was the thing to do. I know your story is remarkably similar. You were executive director of the Capital City Christian Coalition in Austin, Texas, and the Christian Coalition's lobbyist in the state capitol. What made you decide to change?
My life came crashing in on the dogma that I had grown up with. Mm-hmm. That is what made me change.
How significant were one-on-one relationships with family members and others who were being demonized by the Texas conservatives in moving you toward this decision to walk away from that work?
When I was involved in the Christian Coalition, we had two issues, basically. One was we were anti-abortion. Second, we were anti-homosexual. So, mm-hmm. You know, those were our two issues. And I remember going to the National Republican Convention in San Diego, and those were the only two issues that I knew about, but I was an alternate. I wasn't a delegate, but I was an alternate. I was part of the team there, and I really had no idea how to vote on anything else. But what happened to me was I had a close family member who had to have an abortion, mm-hmm. and her life depended on it, and I had to accompany her, and I had to rethink all my opposition to that. And then I had another close family member who came out as homosexual. And so when my life came face to face with what I had been propounding, mm-hmm. you know, I had mud in my face.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to rethink everything, and then I ended a marriage of 24 years, mm-hmm. and so, I mean, that's not something you do in conservative Christianity,
right.
So I pretty much took myself out of everything that I had been doing, and I ended up going to a church. The pastor of the church was someone that I had debated on public television, and he's a liberal Presbyterian pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And he met with me for a year and a half every Friday for breakfast and helped me deprogram.
Mm. That's an interesting way of putting that, because there really is, for people who don't understand it, there really is a deprogramming necessity about coming out of that kind of dominionist theology, isn't there?
Right. It's all about, you have to look at how you view the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at how you view the creeds. There's a lot that you have to look at, and it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of pain to do that.
Right. Did you ever have the experience of maybe having a conversation with that pastor or someone else about what was changing, and you get alone and you begin to wonder, am I doing the right thing?
Oh, well, Dr. Gaddy, I would say that that is a 24/7 conversation I have with myself.
Yeah. And how are you doing with it?
I trust in a deity who is much greater than my little West Texas upbringing understanding.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that Christians have the only answer to being in touch with God. I mean, I believe that there is one God, and he speaks in many voices, or she, whatever.
Where was the strength to make public what you were feeling personally, privately?
I think that there is a huge transition that's going on in Christianity. You know, I love the books by Karen Armstrong and Phyllis Tickle and Frank Schaeffer. I think that we are looking at this institution that we have constructed, and now we're saying, well, would Jesus really want to be a member of this church? So I started thinking, I don't know if I can really continue in the institutional Christian vein, even though I was a missionary for 12 years. I started churches on college campuses, and I think that we somehow missed the message of what Jesus was saying.
Yeah. Elaine, how do you make that decision and not throw out the good with the bad?
Well, Dr. Gaddy, all I am doing is, at this point in my life, I am trying to do what Jesus said, to love God and to love my neighbor as myself, you know, the golden rule. And so that's what I'm doing. I want to practice the part of the Bible that I know that I have to do, and that is that. And that's a full-time job.
It is indeed a full-time job. Well, your story, Elaine, is so compelling. That's why I began by saying I really want everybody to read Sarah's profile of you in the American Prospect. We're going to link to the online version from stateofbelief.com. Our time today is so limited that I really want to focus on the wisdom and insight that you can offer regarding what we see coming out of the Texas GOP today. In other words, the complete conflation of religious right language and party politics. How do you diagnose where figures like Ted Cruz and Rick Perry come from? Do you feel like you know the script they're reading from?
Well, I'm afraid I do. I'm afraid it used to be my script. And I really believe that I have moved to a different place.
And what about that script bothered you?
I don't believe that a theocratic, top-down political position is what even Jesus would have embraced.
So the word is an interesting word. I always think of dominionist theology, dominionist practices, when I see some of the things going on. Out of your own experience, is the dominionist posture with Perry and Cruz and these people, does that represent a true religious conviction, or is some part of that political strategy?
I think it just all blends together. There is the sense of people who are serious about their faith and serious about being involved in the civic conversation, and they may have read the Dominionist works, and they're out there trying to be responsible for their faith because they think God requires it.
Before we get off the air, I want you to think about and say what you think every person listening to this show needs to know about the danger of so merging religion and politics that a person judges your religion by your political votes?
I think that Constantine started this whole thing with nationalizing Christianity, and I think that that's dangerous, and I don't think Jesus would be a part of it. I mean, I follow Jesus, and he basically stuck his fingers in all kinds of religious traditions and political traditions, and that's pretty much what got him executed. If I am going to be a person of faith who follows the Christian tradition that I do, then I'm going to have to look at all these issues and not be carried away by the religious right trends. And I'm just going to have to live the way I should.
Joyce Elaine White is a former leader within the Texas Christian Coalition. She spent much of her life in the service of fundamentalist religion and came to see that the conflation of faith and politics that it was her job to promote was not the force for good, so many were saying, and continue to say it is. A moving profile of Elaine White appears in the current issue of the American Prospect magazine. The author is journalist Sarah Posner, a frequent guest on this show, a good friend of mine. We'll link to that article from stateofbelief.com. Elaine, I want you to know you've helped a lot of people today, and thank you so much, Elaine.
All right.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show, friends. Without the financial support of State of Belief listeners, this show wouldn't be possible. If you've made a donation this week, thank you so much. If you find value in what we're doing, I urge you to join our other generous supporters today. Visit us at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. The kind of inclusive, respectful approach to interreligious dialogue that we strive to present every week, it is virtually impossible to find anywhere else. So I hope you will consider helping us to keep this show on the air and to keep it well-funded so we do our job well. Stateofbelief.com is where you'll find out more about the show, hear extended interviews, watch in-studio videos, read transcripts, and sign up for our podcast. Stay in touch with us. You can do it throughout the week on Facebook and Twitter. We also have a listener line you can call anytime, 202-681-4246. We encourage you to tell others about the show. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy, that State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was.